Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bishcake, CB, and JP. That is the foursome. We have the head coach of the Washington Capitals, Peter Laviolette, joining us at 7:45. They got an overtime win last night. But joining us right now, the head coach of the Washington Wizards.
And he's brought to you by our good friends at Steampunk. Design, disrupt, repeat. Learn more at steampunk.com. Coach, how are you?
How you doing, buddy? On a bit of a heater, huh?
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah, it does.
I bet it does. But, yeah, to kind of talk about the last couple of weeks. I mean, you had some good wins. And we talked a couple weeks ago about the schedule. But you had some good wins. You went to the Garden and won. Not easy. You beat Luka. Not easy. But you did have some games in there, and we talked about it. You got to beat teams like Houston and San Antonio. If you want to get back into playoff contention, you got to take advantage of those, and you did.
Yeah, you know, we looked at, you know, this window, and we've struggled early in the year on the road. So, you know, to kind of get a few under our belt, obviously going into the Garden, to your point, is never easy. Their team is playing at a high level. And going to Dallas, you know, and Luke is a handful, but I thought our guys were really dialed in to what we needed to do. Game plan wise, I thought our effort and energy was great. So we were able to get one there. So I think that gave us a little momentum, you know, and we had our hands full at home against New Orleans, but played well down there as well. And, you know, the other night in San Antonio, you break a 23-year drought of not being able to beat the Spurs, you know, in San Antonio, which, you know, you think about it, is really unfathomable.
Mm-hmm. Where were you in 1999?
I was with the Wizards as an advanced scout, actually.
Were you? Man, that's a lot. Yeah. Over 8,000 days.
Since insane.
Yeah. Is that a rough life, being the advanced scout? Like, you're the grunt. You're just doing the grunt work, watching film, grinding.
Yeah, but you're kind of on your own. You probably like
it. Yeah, what's that
like?
You're
on your own.
You're on your
own. Yeah, you know, it's from city to city. You kind of, at times, feel disconnected. But, you know, you're just out seeing the next opponent, you know, trying to get two or three games in. So you're always probably four days to a week in front of the team, sending back reports. You know, it's a lot of long trips, a lot of lonely nights, but, you know, when you're single and you're learning the league and have an opportunity to travel, watch games, I loved it. And I wound up doing it for 8 years, but I really thought it helped formulate a lot of my ideology and philosophy, you know, seeing how coaches use different players, different tactics, you know, just learning individual personnel. Really gave me a, you know, really sound foundation as far as my, you know, entry level into the NBA.
All right, so let's rewind kind of the last week and a half. The last time we talked to you, Rui Hachimura was still part of the team. Now he's not. At times he showed a lot of potential and put up some decent numbers, but you had a log jam at forwards, and I heard Tommy Shepard talk about, you know, maybe addition by subtraction in that Denny's playing more, and now you guys are calling him Turbo, and he's playing really well. kind of talk about all that and the decision making to move on from Rui, who was a productive player.
Yeah, he was, and you know, he was great off the bench. You know, I think it's to your point, it was a bit of a log jam at that position with KP playing more four. You know, really squeezed Rui, Denny, even Kuz so much at getting those minutes. So I thought, like Tommy said, you know, addition by subtraction in some regard, freeing those minutes up, I think it really helped Denny. He's playing at a high level, specifically on this trip. But, you know, a lot of times things, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. And, you know, he was a foundational piece coming into this year. And you look at where you are, and how you can adjust, and how can we improve. And just a little tweak, you know, of trading a guy really opens up some things for other players, and I think really helps us long term.
I saw yesterday online him saying that, I guess him and KP, as you're calling him, Porzingis, are really tight. Has Porzingis helped the development of Denny Avdia?
Yes, he has. You know, I think it's he's a young vet. You know, it's people don't realize he's not even 30, but you feel like he's been around, been in the league so long. And maybe it's the commonality in being foreign-born player playing here in the NBA. But you know, KP's been around. He's been in different organizations. He's kind of understanding now his impact. And you know, a lot of guys don't want to do it, not able to do it. But I think he's done a terrific job of kind of putting his arm around Denny, and you know, really helping his development, not only on the floor, but you know, in his professional life.
So Coach Chris Stapps tweeted a picture of Denny cooking some steaks mm-hmm. in what appears to be a cast iron skillet. Like, he looks like he knows what he's doing in the kitchen for a 22-year-old kid. That's pretty impressive, because a lot of guys come into the league, they don't know, you know, the value of nutrition, they're not right. good at eating, and what they're putting into their bodies. I mean, he's got like the little spice cup. He's over the steaks. Like, he looks like he knows what he's doing in the kitchen. And when is he going to cook for the team? That's the next step.
I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked to see that in action.
Right.
I'm not gonna say that he can't, but I'd be a little surprised myself to see how well that turns out.
It looks pretty good. I think I would eat these steaks out of a skillet. It looks pretty delicious.
So do you expect the numbers to kind of keep going up for Denny? I mean, he's averaging 9.8 and 8.2 boards in the month mm-hmm. of January. So he had a really good month. And he had a 20-board game against Chicago. Obviously, he had the 25 points in the game mm-hmm. in San Antonio. Do you kind of it seems like he's more comfortable in that role. I'm sure the confidence level is pretty high. Do you expect those numbers to kind of stay where they are?
Well, I hope so. I mean, you know, he's had a string of good games, and I think just his approach and mindset. He's playing with a level of aggression, level of physicality, which has helped him. You know, obviously getting to the line, getting downhill to the paint. He's doing a better job of finishing around the rim. So all those things, I think, are in play. But you could just see his, you know, there's a different level of confidence the way he steps onto the floor. And I think that's really helped him. So I hope to see this continue. But, you know, I don't want to say that those numbers will stay the same. I just hope his approach, mm-hmm. You know, remains intact.
Well, the thing that I really like about his game, he's obviously shown you that he can rebound, but it's when he can rebound and then push the ball up the court mm-hmm. because he's a mm-hmm. bigger guy who has pretty good handles and could almost, I know that he really doesn't play it, but could almost play like a point forward position for you guys pushing the ball up the court.
Yeah, you know what? That would be optimal. You know, I think he has a license to do that, as does a guy like Kuz. And both guys are very similar in size and stature, but they have the playmaking ability. And that's been one thing that we've fostered since day one. If we defend at a high level and rebound, 1 through 4 can push. And we have enough versatility, flexibility with those guys to be able to play make, play pick and roll. And it's one of Denny's strengths. I think that's kind of lends to the whole argument of freeing up some of that room and giving Denny opportunity. He wasn't getting as much of that, you know, in that second group with the roster we had intact. So kind of moving some pieces and opening up some space has allowed him to do that.
Talking to head coach Wes Unseld Jr. of the Wizards, who have won 6 games in a row. So the All-Star game is approaching, and I just want to see how you'll answer this. You have 3 guys, Beal, Porzingis, and Kuzma, who are all maybe deserving of a reserve spot for the All-Star team. If you had to lobby for just one, who's the most mm-hmm. deserving?
Well, I mean, that's a tough one because I've said I'd advocate for all 3. I think just the availability piece kind of tips the favor to Kuz. I thought maybe a month ago KP was right there. He's missed some games in and out. And obviously Brad hasn't met the threshold, but I think with Kuz's availability, the level of consistency which he's played with, I think he would have to get the nod.
Coach, I got to tell you, we took a call from – we did a couple segments on yesterday's show on The Wiz on your streak. And we took a call from a fan. He was a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm paraphrasing what he's saying, but he was just pissed off because we were kind of giving you guys props. All right, you guys are back in the playoff contention. You're at the 9 seed now. You've won 6 straight. And he called up and said, why are you guys doing this? This is typical Wizards. You know, they start out slow, and now they're starting to play better, and they're always going to be kind of mediocre. They're still under 500. And he was just pissed off because he said that that's kind of where they top out. And, you know, I didn't know how to react to it, but say, look, when they win six straight, you kind of have to say, all right, they're starting to ascend, and their goal is to make the playoffs. I know you guys want to win an Eastern Conference. I get that, Coach.
Sure.
But your goal is to make the playoffs as a coach, as a team. Doesn't matter where you are. And he was just pissed off by saying, this is typical Wizards. They're going to be an 8 or 9 seed, and they're going to get bounced in the first round. And we said, well, I mean, it's hard to be the Boston Celtics. It's hard to be the Nuggets, you know, or the Bucks. I don't know. How do you react to that from that fan's perspective?
Well, look, I mean, I think he's looking at a track record that goes beyond, my threshold, and that's fair. I mean, the results are there, and he's entitled to his opinion, so I can't be upset at that. You know, it's not necessarily how you start. I think most importantly, how you finish. And I think we've got a little momentum right now, and hopefully we can keep that momentum. You know, it's a week ago we were in the 13th spot. Right. So a little bit of movement, a little bit of traction. I like where last 20 games were 13-7, obviously won 6 in a row. And look at some of the metrics. You know, last 15 games, 11th in offensive rating, 5th in defensive rating. So I think a lot of positives. So it, give yourself a chance. You have to kind of dig deep and, you know, plant yourself where you are and take the next game as they come. But I think the most important thing is, are we getting better? And I think right now we are.
Given those numbers which you just gave us, should we expect no movement come trade deadline? When I mean no movement, like a big move. Or is everything still on the table for this Wizards team?
Well, that's probably a better question for Tommy and his group, but I think he's always going to look at, you know, how do we improve? You know, and something marginal, it could be, you know, something major if, you know, that deal shakes out at the 11th hour. But I like where we are, and I think this group is really pulling together. So I'd be surprised if anything major were to transpire.
All right.
So you're feeling good. So you got Detroit tonight.
Tonight, yes.
You're in Detroit. You're in a hotel in Detroit right now. I feel bad for you.
Probably the Four Seasons. I wouldn't feel
okay,
that
bad. Okay, I'm sure the hotel's nice. But
nice hotel. A little cold, but yeah, a nice hotel.
Are you near Greektown? How far are you from Greektown?
No, we're actually in the suburbs. So.
Are you in the suburbs? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Right.
They're not in Livonia. Remember we stayed in Livonia?
I remember. Yeah, exactly.
But Detroit, you know, your guys have been scouting. You've been watching film. They're 6-19 at home. They've got a serious injury to they're one of the star players out for the year, Cunningham. They're pretty young. But I know you always say it doesn't matter who you are, they can beat you on
no,
any
really
night.
No, it doesn't.
Right?
It's the NBA. Bobo can put up 40 on them.
I mean, the Sixers just lost Orlando. They had a huge lead, and Orlando came back in Philly and won. I was very bitter about
it's
that.
It's gambling regret, Coach.
So how do you kind of get the guys geared up for a bad team, even though it's a road game?
Well, you know, I've said it before, and I say it to the group all the time. Who are we to judge?
Right.
You know, it's we are where we are, and we're trying to, you know, improve our situation. So we are certainly not in a position to look past anybody. You need to have that healthy respect, healthy fear for whomever. And, you know, we're going to prepare as if, you know, they're whole and, you know, it doesn't change our mindset, or it shouldn't. So, you know, hopefully our guys understand that. And thus far on this trip, they've taken hold of that. So I think it's a good sign, but there's growth, and there's a mature approach in how we look at things and prepare ourselves to win.
When you're on the road, what time is your first team meeting or team breakfast? What time are those guys required to be at a team meeting?
This morning will be 9:30. It kind of depends on the shoot around time. So 9:30 this morning, and we'll get to the gym by 10.
All right. Get that win. Get that dub.
Keep it going.
I appreciate it.
Yep. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
All right.
Coach Unset, of course, brought to you by Steampunk Change is here, anchored by startup culture and human-centered delivery approach. Steampunk puts federal government clients in the center of everything they design, develop, and deliver to drive game-changing mission impacts and user experiences. Design, disrupt, repeat. Steampunk.com, an employee-owned company.
The Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington coming up at 7:45. Don't want to miss the head coach of your Capitals, Peter Laviolette. They got an overtime win last night. He'll join us at 7:45. Then at 8 o'clock, RG3 joins us. We can get into the Super Bowl matchup, Jalen Hurts versus Patrick Mahomes. Talk about some of these coaching moves. Sean Payton now headed to Denver. Try and fix Russell Wilson, who had a terrible year this season for the Denver Broncos. DeMeco Ryans gets the head coaching job for the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk to RG3 at 8 o'clock.
Very good.
All right. Drab told me that EB was going to lead this segment because I asked him. We wanted to talk about the Commanders' offensive line,
yeah,
which we all know isn't very good. And I said, hey, where's the article about this? And he's like, oh, EB can lead the segment. And I don't know where EB is.
Oh, I know where he is. He's
I'll probably, give you one guess.
He's in the Chepe Memorial stall in the bathroom.
What went through him?
And I'm trying to punch up the article, but I can't seem to find it with statistics. But statistically speaking, it's safe to say that they are at the bottom of the league as an offensive line.
Well, it's no surprise that in the upcoming NFL draft, where they're picking right in the middle, like they're going to target either interior offensive line or they're going to draft a tackle. They're going to do something to upgrade this offensive line. And if I were the Commanders, I'm picking two or three guys relatively high. They need some youth. They need some talent. They need an infusion there. And what better and cheaper way to do it?
You could draft one, or you could go into free agency, and that could be your target in free agency.
So, Mr. Bickle's here.
They will attempt to improve the line. They know it's a deficiency.
Top two or three offseason.
They're not going to go into next year with the same clowns they got right now.
No, they can't. They can't go the, well, let's see the guys that I used to coach back in Carolina, the Trey Turner, Norwell route. That was a disaster.
That's why you
can't go down that road again.
Spend a ton of money on a Garoppolo or even a Derek Carr, any of those guys.
Yeah.
You got to go cheap. That's why I've advocated for a Mariota, a Jacoby Brissett, somebody, and then you give Hal the best crack at it, and then, you know, hope a beefed up offensive line. I mean, those numbers are tragic.
We didn't actually go through the numbers, although I do now see like that they have one of the oldest offenses in the league. So they also need to get younger.
Dude, they just need to get better. And they just have to make it a priority. They've gotten away the last few years. We've talked about it for months now. They got away with picking up guys off the scrap heap, you know, the Donald Penns of the world, heck, even Eric Flowers to an extent, and guys just come in here and play okay.
I still don't understand that the Eric Flowers were like, he actually played well when they moved him in to be an interior lineman, and then he just disappeared. They had no interest in keeping him. I don't know whether it was because
getting too high,
the salary was too high, but his production was actually pretty good.
It seemed like it was pretty good, but there were some that said that maybe it wasn't as good as we thought. You know, it seemed pretty good. I agree with you, Cakes. I think they'd be better with him right now,
right,
than without him.
So in the latest Kuiper draft, Kuiper has the Washington Commanders with the 16th pick selecting Broderick Jones from Georgia, starting left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a position that they address, whether it's in the draft or in free agency. 100%. You know that.
Right, 6'4", 315 pounds.
So you didn't mention the numbers. I was pooping. Sorry. You didn't mention the numbers. This is from a guy from Hogs Haven, okay? And I sent this to Drabby.
Ah, see, I asked him, where's the article from? He said Commander's Wire. No wonder I couldn't find it.
Well, maybe it is there, too. But I want to give him full credit. Somebody tweeted this to me from Mark Tyler from Hogs Haven. Charles Leno was tied for 7th in the NFL in blown blocks, 36, and the 5th worst tackle. Norwell was tied for, take this for what it is, 26th worst. Lucas and Cosme were tied for 27th worst.
That doesn't seem bad.
Middle of the pack, maybe, right?
27th worst?
That's what it said.
There's only 32 teams.
Well, yeah, but you figure two tackles.
Yeah.
Right? And then this is also in for, is it just for tackles or for just offensive line? I think it's just for offensive line. Cosme blew 4.7% of his blocks, which was 6th worst.
Wow.
Lucas blew, I don't know what the number is. He was 10th worst. So, I mean,
Pretty much across the board.
Yeah,
not good offensive linemen.
Mediocrity to terrible.
And they're old.
Well, Cosme's outside young.
I know, but I'm saying overall, the offense was one of the oldest in the leagues.
Well, Cosme, they drafted high, so they certainly think he's part of the future.
He's going to move into guard.
He's also been banged up. He seems like he was in and out, in
true,
and out.
True, but they're going to move him to guard. That's almost a given.
Yeah.
Okay? They're going to move him to guard and hope the production gets better. They need a center because you can't rely on Chase Roullier. I don't know.
Sadiq Charles has been underwhelming since he was drafted.
Nothing. All hype. Their resources they need to allocate to the offensive line. I don't think they need to. I think they just need to take a break on signing everybody else's quarterback that they're sick of paying.
Yeah.
And bolster that offensive line. Bolster it in the draft. Get a mediocre quarterback, you beat with Hal, and just cross your fingers. And if you suck, you suck.
Could spend a lot of money on Orlando Brown, upgrade your tackle. Now that's going to cost a lot of dough.
I'm not sure they need to go crazy and sign some prize, but they need to sign quality. Just some quality guys.
I have no problem with them using the 16th pick on an offensive lineman. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067,
swing tackle.
They need to do it. I saw a video yesterday of Mike Tomlin at the Senior Bowl looking at the offensive linemen bouncing around.
Yeah. Could they? I know Ron wasn't there. Could they move Leno to right tackle? I don't even know if that's a thing. Could they move him to right tackle?
I mean, guys definitely move.
Left tackle? Right. I mean, I don't know if it's.
Could they move him from right to left?
No, from left,
oh, left to right.
Yeah, and then draft a left tackle very high.
What are you going to do with Cosme then?
Cosme's moving to guard, 100%. He's moving to guard. It's basically a given. If you listen to the guys that cover the team, that's the word on the street, which helps. And then I don't know when you can draft a center before they stop mocking you, but maybe in the
fourth round.
Well, is there any way that they roll the dice on Roullier again? He's just hurt too much.
I don't think you can rely on him. He could be on your roster, but you can't rely on him.
If you want to chime in, you can call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, 800-636-1067. Should offensive line be the top priority for this Washington Commanders team in the offseason?
I think yes. I think offensive line, you got to get another linebacker in there that can add some depth.
I think they got to go corner.
And a corner would be great.
I think quarterback is also
I'm going to put quarterback at the top,
but not in the draft.
Maybe not in the draft, but I'm not sold on Sam Howell.
You shouldn't be. No one's saying you should be.
I mean, I love the concept of, hey, we've got a cheap rookie. Maybe if he pans out, we'll build everything around him. Mm-hmm. That really hasn't worked so far for Ron.
You build up the line and give Hal the best chance. And if Hal sucks, cut him. Who cares? And then now you're prepared to sign a free agent or draft one next year.
So then you're five of Ron? Or
who cares about Ron?
He's not going to be there.
Ron's not a factor.
What are we doing?
Because if the quarterback position is struggling this year, that means the team is struggling. That means the record's bad. That means the new owner says, see ya.
Yes. I would make the argument that no quarterback you bring in here is going to be successful behind that line, by and large. So you got to fix that line, and then we can really address the quarterback in a year if whatever garbage you bring in and how bomb.
See, I think if you brought in, and I'll just go with not the top tier guys, but I'll say if you brought in a Jimmy G or Derek Carr, they're going to be more successful. You were a 500 team last year. You just need one more win, and it's in the playoffs.
It's hard. Mm-hmm.
Those guys would be more successful than what they had.
Just
they
wait it, wait
you
it got, out.
You can't, I would agree. You can't ignore the line, though. You got
Derek Carr would play better than Taylor Heinicke.
But though Taylor Heinicke would play better with a line, better line.
Correct, but Derek Carr would play better than what Carson Wentz gave you.
I think you'd be more set long-term fixing the line and put plug-and-play quarterbacks in.
Yeah, but if you want to win, if you want to get to the playoffs, and you were so close, 8-8-1, Derek Carr, Jimmy G, would have won more games than the combination of Wentz and Heinicke.
I don't know that they'll have much. I don't think he's going to get to 9 or 10 wins with that line.
The Raiders are going to cut their car.
You don't think
soon.
They would have won more games if one of those guys was their quarterback and healthy, because Jimmy G wasn't healthy this year.
I think it'd be
than what
be
they
hard.
Got from Wentz and Heinicke.
But see, it doesn't matter because whoever they bring in, they're not going. That's not going to be the line.
Correct.
I mean, some of the guys will be there, but that won't be the starting line.
And I like the concept
of
Derek Carr,
but you have to upgrade it.
They will. They'll try.
Magically upgrade.
They'll try.
There's a reason the Raiders have moved on for Derek Carr. They brought in the receiver he went back to college with, and it didn't work out for Derek Carr. So how's? I like the pieces he'd be throwing to here if he was here, but he's not the cure all for this team. Like he's not a guy that you plug in and you say, this team can win 11 or 12 games. I'm not saying that.
I'm just saying they are better, and I agree with you that top of the list priority is quarterback.
It's number one.
No.
It's the top of the list.
No, I think their number one priority has to be offensive line long term. If you wanted to just, you know, I just think it has to be offensive line. I think every quarterback's going to struggle with that line.
No, that's not the case. So if you had Aaron Rodgers, he would struggle?
He would do better with a better line.
Of course, everybody will do better.
Yeah.
But you're saying that every quarterback would struggle with that offensive line.
One of the worst in the league.
My outlook is any team that doesn't have a top 10 quarterback currently, your number one priority is getting your quarterback.
Correct.
Yeah.
Everything else is secondary.
Right, but just because you got an upgrade in Carr doesn't mean it's any sort of real solution. It's just a plug and play like all the others.
So when they're interviewing,
all quarterbacks are not equivalent. You're basically saying that all quarterbacks are equivalent if they have a terrible offensive line.
It's a great equalizer.
Can I say something? So when they're interviewing these offensive coordinators, mm-hmm. all right, and they've interviewed a slew of them, maybe not the ones you want, but they've interviewed a slew, and maybe they'll end up announcing that Zampese is the guy. But if they're interviewing these guys and they say, all right, Sam Howell's our guy, what can you do with them? Do you think the offense coordinators go, can't work with Sam, sorry. You got to upgrade the quarterback position for me. Can't work with him. You think that's a possibility?
Sure.
And that's why they haven't gotten one of these bigger names?
Yeah, of course it's a possibility.
I don't know. I honestly don't
any
know.
Well, it's certainly something that's talked
any
about.
Any OC that wants to succeed, they don't want to be dealt a terrible hand to start.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want to look at... You got a fifth round, second year guy with one start.
Yeah.
And player X that you're going to bring in, Jacoby Brissett or a Marcus Mariota type or some Andy Dalton esque type guy. They're going to say, no, thank you. I'm going to move on to a better
option. They're going to say, no, thank you, because the coaching staff's all getting blown out in 1 year. That's probably part of it. That's the number one reason. It has nothing to do with the quarterback. The number one reason is because they're all getting
I think
fired.
The quarterback position has to be. A topic, because if an offensive coordinator comes in, he wants to know who his quarterback's going to be.
Sure.
And if Ron says, we're going with our fifth round pick, who's got one start, what can you do with him?
No. He's going to say, we're going to have Hal here, and we're going to give him a chance to win the job, and we're going to have X, Y, and Z, whoever those bums are.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be a top name.
Well, we'll see.
And they're going to say, thanks for the call. I'm going to go talk.
They're going
to
say that anyway. He could call with Derek Carr. He called Eric Bieniemy right now and say, I got Derek Carr.
Yeah.
And he's going to say, why would I come coach for you? You're getting fired in a year.
I'm still holding out hope for Bieniemy because I'm
coming
stupid.
Here. I just think it's, you know what? Cart this up, save this, jot it down, everything. Eric Bieniemy is not coming to D.C.
Please save it.
I would agree.
It's not happening.
Cakes is the only one who thinks that it might happen.
All of HTGR Nation thinks he's coming here. He ain't coming here, folks.
Oh, I don't want to be aligned with them. I might have to change my stance.
You are. There's no reason to come here.
I think it's a possibility. I think it's a 25% chance that he comes here.
I like your optimism there,
Valdez. I'll take the 75%.
Your team cakes.
I would say the chance of Eric Bieniemy. Put it this way. If Eric Bieniemy comes here, tells me he maybe is not a smart person, why would you come here? You could go anywhere else and get up from underneath Andy Reid's shadow.
He's desperate to get a head coaching gig, and maybe he feels like if he gets out of the KC shadow
so
and does something
better.
On his own.
Go somewhere better. Why would you come back?
Is the Titans job that much better than the Commanders job?
I think so. What other Titans OC jobs are available?
Well, the Ravens requested an interview, but they're also doing their second interview with
the Ravens job would be light years.
But I don't know if the Ravens want him because they're doing a second interview with the Seattle Seahawks.
Want him, but it would be a better opportunity.
Why the Ravens could end up franchising Lamar Jackson and trading him, and you're stuck with the Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley.
Doesn't matter. It's a stable franchise. You got a stable head coach. Harbaugh's not going anywhere. You're not going to get fired in a year. You come here, the chances of you getting fired, I would say, would we all agree, 85%? The chance of this being a
odds
one
are high.
Year, 85 to 90%. Why would you do that? Why would you leave Kansas City, a golden ticket, playoff money, publicity, people jocking you, talking about how it's a joke that you don't have a job yet. You're like the hottest guy on the market.
I was going to say,
come here for 1 year.
Maybe he feels like Kansas City's just a dead end for him at this point. Yeah. He's hitting his head on the ceiling.
I don't think he's hot anymore. Like 2 years ago, everybody was talking about hiring Bieniemy. Last year, this year, haven't heard that much about Eric Bieniemy for a head coaching gig.
Yeah, I don't know how positive his name is anymore.
I think he was hot like
because
2 years
every time
ago.
We talk to somebody, they say, "Hey, we think he's a bad interview." We just had the guy on.
I watched him handle a presser. It's different than an interview. I thought he was fine.
Yeah, I don't know, but bottom line is, getting back to your original discussion about the offensive line, they are going to try and upgrade it.
They have to.
They will.
I think it's the priority.
Don't know if they're going to do it in free agency. Don't know if they're going to do it in draft. Maybe combine it.
Yeah, probably combination.
Well, they have to combine it. Yep. But unlike Cakes and JP, I think it's the number one priority. Quarterback is your most important position, no doubt. But you just need to fix that line long term.
Unless you have your number one quarterback, it's always the number one priority.
Correct.
Always. In this league, the way it's currently
constructed.
It's the
most correct you've ever been, Cakes.
It is the most important. Everything
else
pales in comparison.
You can't ignore it.
Oh, really? Joe Burrow's done pretty good without a great line.
Well, you don't have Joe Burrow, and you're not getting
him. One pick away. One pick away. They had to win that game against the Dolphins.
God's been sacked.
All the bets. Bieniemy's not coming.
Joe Burrow's been sacked.
I would agree.
I might be wrong, but I thought I saw 117 times in the last two seasons.
Sounds about right.
He's been to a Super Bowl and an AFC championship.
And by the way, that's another team that will address the offensive line in the offseason.
And they addressed it this past offseason. But you know what? They started with the quarterback.
Okay.
They started winning games.
He's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Okay. You're acting like they're all equivalent.
You have no
offense. You're acting like they're all equivalent. Like it doesn't matter who's the quarterback with a bad offensive line.
We're not getting a Hall of Famer.
Eric,
all the non-Hall of Famers are basically equivalent.
According to PFF and their grades, three of the bottom six offensive lines made the playoffs. Seahawks, Giants, Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Giants won a game. Bengals won a game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all about just having Joe Burrow. You said it's impossible to win with a crappy O-line.
No. If you have a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Daniel Jones isn't a Hoffer.
I don't know. I don't know how the Giants did that. They utilized his running very, very well.
He just gave you three teams.
Great coaching.
Listen. Okay,
you don't have that
the team with the best O-line is
in
the Super Bowl.
You guys just want to go sign.
What are we doing?
We do it all the time. We sign quarterbacks all the time. Don't address the line. We're still the same old 7-8 win team. I want to make a U-turn. I want to change. I want to fix the offensive line. Then bring in the bum quarterback.
Coming up next, we will talk some Capitals. They got an overtime win last night. Their head coach, Peter Laviolette, joins us next here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Remember, you can always text us on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine, 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. Going to talk a little Caps hockey right now. They got a win in overtime last night. Their head coach, Peter Laviolette, joins us. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAortho.com. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
You know,
doing
I think well. Last week we talked to you a little bit Good about how morning. Much guys practice in shootouts, but I don't know that we talked to you about overtime. Overtime is so much different than 5-on-5. There's just a lot of space. It's fast. Yeah. I think the last two times you've gotten overtime wins, how much do you practice that?
We practice it a little bit. I mean, practices are hard to come by right now. We practice it a little bit, but there's rules in place for overtime for us on what we're looking to do and how we're looking to do it. And so we go over that, you know, every few games we'll throw it up on the board because it's not something you do a lot in the game. Like, you forecheck every game. You play defense every game, but 3-on-3, you don't do it all the time. And so sometimes the rules on face-offs or, you know, neutral zone defense or what you're looking to do offensively, those things kind of, they get pushed to the side because you're just not working on it in the game. And so every once in a while, we'll just throw a refresher on it. And then sometimes, too, we'll go backwards and we'll look at the video and just maybe some adjustments. It might be two or three games go by, whether it's good or bad. And we'll take some of those video clips and just have kind of a 3-on-3 review to refresh on everybody.
Do you have set in stone lines for the 3-on-3?
No, I mean, it starts first for me with whoever's best in the face-off circle. Mm-hmm. And so that could alter whatever you were thinking. That might alter it if the guy that you were thinking is having a tough night, because it's all about possession. That face-off is so important. Anytime they drop it, that's automatic possession. If you think about 3-on-3, sometimes you hang on to that puck for a minute, minute and a half. Mm-hmm. We've seen teams hang on to it for 2 minutes. And so the possession is really important. So usually we go to the top face-off guy, or if somebody's doing really well against somebody, we'll send that guy out on the ice and then even possibly change him, you know, and just to get the face-off and get possession. So we go in with a plan. Somebody might be hot that night too. Like, somebody might be really skating well, and we might use him and bump him up the lineup. And so it changes a little bit.
Coach, it's nice when you get the secondary guys scoring. TVR with two goals last night. Garnet Hathaway with a goal. And obviously, Evgeny with the game winner in overtime.
And he had a great pass to TVR, I believe, on that goal.
But it's nice to see, you know, the guy, you know, not the usual suspects, not Ovi, not Wilson when he's healthy. You know, it's good to see these guys chipping in, too.
It's good. It is good. I think you need contributions from everybody. But, you know, some nights it's, you know, the numbers don't come for the guys that you're, you know, you're mentioned that you're expecting maybe more to score, but everybody kind of lives by the same rules, you know, with the way we play the game. And, you know, they're all talented guys. It's nice to see guys like TVR get a couple goals. And you're right, Haas been good, and that line had been good, and it's nice to see them chip in. So I think it's important you get scoring in depth from everywhere. Your defense, your, you know, the guys that kill penalties and play a little bit more defense, it's nice when they get some contributions.
Coach, if I told you in October before the season started that Charlie Lindgren, your number two goalie, would have a 12-6 record at the All-Star break, what would your response have been? I mean, he's been great over his last 13 starts, 10-3 with a 2.24 goals against.
I think we would have expected that. Yeah, in all honesty, I don't think that doesn't blow me away that you said that. I mean, there was some work that went into scouting and signing Charlie, and there was an expectation that he would come in and do good things. And so, I think it's great. We certainly need that. We needed it big time when Darcy was out of the lineup, and then he really shined. You know, during that stretch, he really shined for us. But I think that our guys expected Charlie to come in and win games. And so I think it's a good record for him.
All right, so you got a break coming up, and just kind of looking back, December was amazing. You almost didn't lose. January, not so much. What were the differences in the 2 months?
There's a couple games I thought where we played poor defensively in January. Like, we just didn't do enough good things defensively. There was a couple games that we lost in December where I thought we played really well, and we ended up not getting the points that night. And so those hurt, especially when you're in the position that we're in now, kind of that middle of the pack position. Man, you think you're doing the right things throughout the course of the game. You're generated two or three times more chances than the opposition, and high danger chances and quality chances, and just didn't get it. I think the one number that stands out, you know, the two numbers that stand out from the one that stands out from December to January, sorry, is the shooting percentage. And we were dropping a lot of goals in the net and scoring four goals a game. We were pretty tight defensively. That number was low. So when you're generating offense and your shooting percentage is high and you're playing good defense, you're going to win a lot of hockey games. And so that's probably the one thing that sticks out for me. I thought there's some games that we could have played better in front of our goaltenders defensively, and then just the shooting percentage, we've got to find a way to get those pucks to drop.
So, Coach, how do you approach the break? Do you take a few days just to completely, like, unpack and unwind from hockey, or are you, like, in the office, like, every day while the players are taking some time and getting some R&R? How does that work?
No, the coaches are taking some time as well, too. I mean, everybody's got family, just get away for a couple of days. There's, you know, we've already started working on the reset and them coming on the way out in the back-to-back games. And, you know, coaches do their work at home and they do their work wherever they're at. And we'll be back and, you know, we'll be ready for those two games when we come out of the break. And it's a chance to see some family maybe that you haven't got to see. I'm going to see both my boys play hockey, so I'm going to trip down to Florida to see one play down there. And then at the end of it, I'm going to head into Wheeling and see my son play in Wheeling. So, you know, just catch up a little bit, but I think coaches are always kind of working and looking at things.
All right, Coach. Well, enjoy the time off, enjoy the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Yep. Thank you, buddy. You too, pal.
Coach Peter LaViolette, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. Coming up next, we'll talk a little football, NFL. From coaches to a Super Bowl preview with RG3, Robert Griffin III, here on Junks Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.